Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Nice to see you. How are you?
I'm Craig.
Josh has Betty.
So precious.
Betty, you're so pretty. Now, when I first called the vet after I got her to set up an appointment, they're like, "What's your puppy's name?" And I was like, "Her name's Betty. Betty White." And they just thought that was so funny and so cute.
So precious.
Yeah. Anyone who meets her just gets a big smile on their face.
Well, it's even better because Betty White was such a lover of animals.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. I know. She would love, I think, to have a dog.
Oh, yes.
That was named after her. And such a friendly little cute little dog, too.
Yeah.
My little Cavapoo.
Eating my zipper.
I was going to say, what is she eating?
Now, on today's episode, I want to tell you, Josh. So, you know how Kim really stumbles a lot when she reads?
Yeah.
Well, she had me print off her papers today. And I was like, no wonder you're stumbling when you're reading. These are like lots of run-on sentences.
Oh, God.
And it's just a basic
I'm talking 8 pages of 2 paragraphs a page, basically.
Jesus Christ. I quit doing scripts to read from because I'm just not good at it. But.
Yeah, but see, so what I did was before she got here, I was like, I'm going to separate this out and put some bullet points. That way, it might be easier for her to read and remember where she's at.
Oh, yeah. I put periods when I need to take a breath.
Yes.
Just as a subtle reminder.
And when I'm doing that also, it's because I'm watching a documentary, because it's what I've been doing them on, that I've been taking notes as I'm doing that. So I'm half here and half there, trying to remember everything that I need to remember.
I got you. But then afterwards, you can always go through it and clean it up a little bit, just to make it easier for you to read.
I did.
Oh.
Yeah, I did change some things.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully.
It'll be all right.
When we get to your mystery, hopefully it will be a little easier for you to read. And
it'll be all right.
Comprehend. Why is in that little red thing, Josh? Is that cough drops over here by your cup?
Oh, cranberries.
Oh, okay.
Oh, crazy.
I was like, is that a cough drop?
Like, you bring
a back cough drop? As long as it's not too sweet. She can play out there. I'm sure she'll be okay. If we hear a yelp, we'll go find her. I'm sure she's fine.
She'll get scared and come find us.
Oh, I'm sure, because the light's not on out there.
I'm surprised you didn't shut the door.
No, that way if she wanted to go run around, she can go out there and run around.
She has to learn.
Yeah.
I'm all tangled up.
I don't think there's anything dangerous for her out there. That's a pretty blanket, Kim. I like those collars.
Thanks. One of the girls that I work with found out she was pregnant.
Oh, those are good neutral.
Yeah, she wasn't going to find out what it was, so I was doing neutral colors, and then she ended up finding out it was a boy. So, but it still works out. It's still, I like it. I think it's cute. I love this stitch.
Oh, yeah.
And this one's going a lot faster than that last one that I did.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Good. And then after I finish this one, I have one that I've been commissioned to do. Somebody asked for.
Oh. Like on Patreon?
No.
Oh,
she's okay. A friend of mine.
Oh, that was nice
she
of you.
Put on, no, yeah, she put on Facebook one that she, it's a cat stitch.
Oh, okay.
She says, hey, couldn't anybody make me this? And I'm like, yeah, I can make it for you as long as you're not in a hurry to
Here's
get
this
it.
Here's chewable, Josh, if she needs it.
So, I got the yarn for it. It's going to be black and white.
So, guys, we got a postcard in the mail. Kim picked it up on our way here today. It has a beautiful island on it. And it says, greetings from Galveston Island, which is in Texas. And I will read it out to us. Greetings from Galveston It's been 20 years since the last snow, and we arrived today to snow on the ground and 30-degree temperatures in Texas. Not quite the warm and sunny winter getaway I imagined, but good friends and meeting new friends was better than a sunny day at the beach.
That'd be my luck if I ever went somewhere down south like that.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. It's the one cold day we get a year.
And that was written by Debbie, it looks like. And it looks like, so she was also with Meech. Her name is Michelle on Patreon. And Meech says, "Hi, gang. We miss you. Isn't it time for a West Coast visit?" Yeah, I'd say. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to go back to the West Coast. I mean, the Redwoods, so many fun parks. As long as there's nothing on fire, I'm okay going
there. We'll bring extra water for the fire.
No kidding. It's a really pretty postcard. I didn't know.
She digging for gold or
what? She wants my zipper.
So does every man in town.
Yeah,
every
like
man in town.
I don't wear a zipper. I just wear a pull down. Easy access.
Surprise, he wears anything. All right, guys. So I have four more cat calls for you today. So Josh, Kim, if you guys are out and about and you see some men working hard on the highway, you can just yell these out.
It doesn't necessarily have to be the highway. It could be on a building.
I'm just saying, wherever you see a hot man and you want to yell.
I told you, it's the guy next door. Okay, go on.
All right, here we go. "Hey, baby, you look like you take the trash out without being asked."
Ooh.
Get my that really going.
Yeah, that really turns me on.
He changed the bag too. Oh.
The toilet paper roll.
Oh,
my mercy.
And he put it in right, you know, where it's over.
Oh, and he replaced the hand towel in the
bathroom. Oh, my God.
Whoa, wait. Over?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
He didn't
just
set it on top of the roll?
It pulls under.
No, it goes over.
Oh, it goes over.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The man who
you
patented
are an under?
Toilet paper.
Yes, I do under.
Well, then it unravels itself.
Yeah. If you do it over.
Not if you don't pull it too hard.
No, because this makes sense that Kim does this because your toilet paper has done that before. I just assumed it's because you get cheap trash toilet paper because you hate yourself. You get that angel soft bullshit.
I don't anymore.
Do you not? What do you get? Is it Charmin?
No, it's the
Charmin extra ultra strong?
It's the generic.
It's trash.
Are you going to let me talk now?
You said generic. It's trash.
Yeah, at BJ's.
Trash.
No, it's good stuff.
But
it's
now
kinda,
it all
like
makes sense.
Charmin,
not only do you hate yourself and you get trash toilet paper, you also hang it backwards. It needs to go over. Mm-mm. Yeah, you do not want to reach under and grab your toilet paper. Burned off.
The man who patented the toilet paper roll, when he patented it, and on the patent is clear instructions on how to put it in it.
Yeah.
By the patent and the inventor, it goes over.
It does go over.
No,
all right, here's another one.
All right, everybody, is it over or under? Send us a message.
There you go.
It's over.
It's over. It's over, Kim. Leave it. Nope. All right, here's another one. "There are 206 bones in the human body. You'll want to make it 207.
I've had 209.
Oh, my.
I heard one of... "What's your favorite sexual position?" And she said 71 because it's 69 plus 2.
Oh, my gosh. That was funny. All right. I got two more. "I ain't talking about Subway when I say I could use a foot long."
Too, way too big.
And this one is probably
one
of my favorites.
There's only so much room in there.
All right.
Yeah.
In your little bitty lunchbox.
The vaginal cavity is around 6 inches.
I've heard. All right, so here's the last one. "Hey, sweet cheeks, can I be the two lips in your stem?"
Gross. Gross.
That is horrible.
Two lips in your stem.
That is horrible.
I know. I'm going somewhere, aren't I?
Oh, yeah, and it's not a good place.
At least it'd be warm.
I mean...
It is ungodly cold here.
It is very cold
here. I can't stand it.
Stupid.
Ugh. No, hell is actually cold. It's so cold that it burns.
Betty's got the alien.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. She's being taking abducted.
You're going to get probed.
Oh, poor thing.
Bigger than she is.
You're going to have to put that up. Or
she's
gonna
just
have
over in the corner.
She takes anyway. After her uncle. She likes well, bigger eyes are than light, she is. Yeah.
Its eyes light up. She's
help
like,
me.
What
help
the
me.
Hell? This thing's possessed.
It's the claw.
She's like, been trying to get it the whole
time. Oh, God.
She's it like, scares her.
Something's wrong with it, guys.
Doesn't it make noise, too?
No, I don't think so.
Her little bark.
Yeah, she's freaked out by it, I think. I got her this little toy the other day, and it was the first time she... she's just going to take it off.
I'm going to go kill this.
When that was the last time they saw the alien. But I got her a little toy the other day. I went to the pet store here in town that Josh was talking. Was J&K?
Something like that.
Yeah, something.
Did they have the little mini pot-bellied pigs?
No. Oh, I didn't see them.
They go fast.
I'm sure. But it's the pet store over by Walmart. It's big inside.
It's
you should go in there.
It's right next to the Dollar Tree. And so you think it's going to be the small size of the Dollar Tree, but it just keeps going.
Oh, I'm
going
to have to stop there on the way out of town.
They have a huge pond.
Yeah.
You can walk over a bridge. Yeah. There's several turtles and koi in the pond.
Yeah.
And
when you first walk in, though, on the left, right by the registers, there's some treats that they make themselves. And they look so good. Ziggy would love one of those. You have to grab them all.
They have some small ones, too. I get them for Annie for her birthday and her stocking and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool place, though. But
I bought some
I've been
treats.
Bringing her.
Ziggy's never been really one that gets an upset stomach when it comes to treats or anything. He's usually been able to eat anything. There had been only one thing that I knew that he couldn't eat, and that was those, sweet potatoes that's got the chicken wrapped around them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? He cannot eat those. He can't digest them. It makes him sick every single time. And I bought a little bag of treats the last time I was in a pet store, and I don't think that agrees with him either.
They have a little freezer there too, and they have little cups of doggy ice cream.
Uh-huh.
I'll get Annie every once in a while.
They do. It'll be melted by the time
suspicious.
I get home.
We'll have to bring our babies there together.
Right. Yeah, I've been bringing her in there. So we go probably twice a week now since I'm in power 2 weeks, so I've been four times. But she's so good. She'll just... let me hold her and we'll go around. Oh boy, she's got your yarn, Kim.
Let me eat it.
Right. Unravel the whole blanket.
When she gets a little bigger, you'll have to get her little outfit.
Oh yeah, I know. I looked at some of them. Well, I saw some that were I think there was a Bigfoot one or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that'd be so cute. But it was way too big.
I might still have some of Ziggy's when he was a puppy. I'll have to look and you can have them.
Okay. But yeah, it's a really cool pet store, and it's a small business, so they've been around for a long time. That's why I like in there, I think.
Annie was so little when I got her that they don't make dog clothes that little, but it was winter, so I wanted her to have something. So I cut my fuzzy socks. I cut that little tip off her head and little, footy holes, and it fit her just right.
Well, Betty's so small that they didn't even have one of the harnesses for her, so I had to go to the cat section.
Yeah.
That's why I got her one of her beds. That's my office.
I usually look it when I get Annie a harness cat section.
Same thing.
Yeah. And the dog ones are usually real big and bulky.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
And that's, even the petite small, extra small that they have was too big for me.
You get
I
them
never
on
thought
an
about
umbrella.
Looking in the cat section because I have a hard time fitting Ziggy too.
Yeah.
Well, we raised chihuahuas, and the pet section used to be a lot smaller, so you could only buy collars for them in the cat section.
I don't remember them ever having harnesses back then.
No, it was just collars. I still have the collars with the tags on Angel and Spike.
No,
I don't have Tinies. I never got hers, but I still have theirs.
That's cute.
They were my favorite childhood.
Oh yeah,
those three.
Uh-huh.
We had little chihuahuas. Mine was Angel, Angelica from the Rugrats.
Mm-hmm.
Shane had tiny bubbles. She was a little tiny white dog.
She went missing once
and we couldn't find her in the house. And we found her in one of Shane's shoes. Uh-huh. She was sleeping.
Sleeping away.
She's going to end up having that thing tore up.
I know. I'd get it from her, but I can't reach it. Well, Josh can reach it, I guess. She's going to be mad.
You mother!
Right. Look,
she's going after my sock.
She's like, I'm going to bite your foot off, damn it.
I'm the baby.
It just makes me want another puppy, and I don't know.
You'll get up every 2 hours.
I had puppy fever, and then about 5 minutes after I came here the other day and first met her, I was like, nope. I don't know.
I mean, I can't ever see myself without a pet, but I don't see myself getting another puppy. It'll probably be a rescue.
Before, like, when Annie's old, because I want, you know, her to still be around to, like, teach it my mannerisms.
Daddy don't like this.
So, yeah, probably, like, 4 or 5 years, I'll... But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's been several years since I've had a puppy, so you romanticize, like... But then,
and then you forget.
5 minutes of spending time with her the other day, I was just like, nope, I don't miss getting up every 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. No, I will say that I quickly fell in love with her.
Oh, yeah.
Like Betty. So I had brought her several days, I think, to the office. And then one day I had this important breakfast thing that I couldn't bring her. So I was like, I'll just keep her at home today. You know, I got her that, you probably saw it when you were up there, that big thing. So it has like a part for her bathroom, like with a potty paper, and then she has a part for play in and sleep in. So I was like, well, that's big enough. You know, I can keep her at home if I need to. My God, that scared the shit out of me, Josh.
What was that?
What was it?
It was you sucking or blowing on that.
No, it wasn't. It was a loud bang.
There's something upstairs.
Oh, okay. I thought that was you. I was like,
I thought it was a gun.
Well, I hope it wasn't either.
Started looking for a place to hide.
Hide behind Kim.
Should we not go make sure everything's all right up there?
You're okay up there.
I don't hear any screaming or nothing. Might be fine. Okay, but anyway. So I went to that dinner and stuff, and so I went back to the office, and I was like, oh, I miss Betty.
And now you know how we felt when we would travel after a few days. Especially like sleeping, I get used to that little hot body kicking me in the back of my shoulders all night long and farting and, you know, I get used to it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm always, anytime we go someplace after a couple of days, I'm like, I just miss my dog.
Well, that was the day you were coming over here, that you came over. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm going to go get her. So I came and got her around noon. She came back to work with me.
See, I have such anxiety that I don't take Annie out like very many places, just how my anxiety works. I'm like, what if I get stranded on the side of the road and I'm, you know, then she's with me and while she gets lost in the woods and I'm like a predator, you know, I start spiraling. So then she just stays at the house.
I took Ziggy to the dog park a couple times, but he loves to go on car rides. So I got him a car seat.
We have a lovely dog park in town, but I'm too afraid that some big German Shepherd might just, you know, lose his mind for a second.
Well, I always go to Winchester, and there's never anybody at the dog park in Winchester.
Okay.
Because, I wouldn't take him if there was people there, because he has never really been associated, you know, he's never really been around a lot of dogs.
Right.
The only dogs he's ever been around is Boone, and then when I took him to the dog park, when he was just a puppy, there was another dog there in... That was the only other time that he's ever been around another dog.
Well, I love taking her on hikes with me. Just, it's so fun because she gets you know, she's in the house most of the time. So the woods, she's just like, oh my God. But then the last time she got a tick. So then I'm like, oh,
yeah,
can't win for losing. Got to watch out for eagles and ticks.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll have to go on a trip sometime and bring our doggies.
Yeah. There's a lot of pet friendly hotels.
Yeah, but Kim's dog's not well behaved.
Our dogs are
chill.
We'll
bring our two. Yeah,
he's just hyper.
You just didn't train him very well.
No, he's just
you
hyper.
You didn't train him. You didn't train him at all.
You let him run all over you. Yeah.
Still does.
He trained you.
He did.
To care for him.
He did. So she's going to start taking dog classes.
Oh, good.
And I found this dog class. Now, she asked, it's like you have to do a bunch of classes leading up to it. It's a therapy class.
Did you find it at the pet shop? They usually have cards.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. No, this was word of mouth. Someone that I know told me about it. But she'll be a little therapy dog. So I'd be able to bring her into like a hospital.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And those type of places.
My Shih Tzus, I used to take them to the Parker Nursing Home at Halloween every year because I dressed them up, you know, with the girls and everybody. They just loved seeing the dogs dressed up. And so they always went there.
I did a few times, but again, I was too anxious that one of the wheelchairs would run over my little precious angel. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be a real parent, like of a human baby. I would never. It would live in a bubble. Bubble boy would be real. I'd be too. Cause, I mean, with a human baby, you mess up and it gets hurt. You can go to jail.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true. For sure. Oh, remind me to the jail. Remind me that later. Okay. I'll tell the story on
about your conjugal visit.
Right.
Oh.
All them boys you've been with.
I do follow on Instagram. It's at, I think it's from Alabama. But it's an Alabama men's prison, and it's all these inmates doing, like, video calls. It's like, you sup, I'm Big Bubba, I'm in for theft, just looking for a woman, looking for a good time. And then they'll, like, flex. They're just, like, 20-second videos. They're, like, looking for pen pals, and I'm like, some of them, I'm like, I could fix them. I could fix him right up.
Uh-huh. That's what you thought about your dead ex, too. Yeah. Now, ooh, see where that got you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you could.
Well, Kim, what's your mystery today?
Well, today we're going to talk about yet another
documentary.
Yeah. This one's on O.J. Simpson.
Oh, I think, is it the one that I watched?
I was hoping it'd be that kinky one.
Oh, yeah, I know that we talked about that one.
The one on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, I watched it.
I forgot that you had watched it, too.
Uh-huh. I just recently got Netflix back. I went a few months without any streaming service. It was just, it became too, like, I wasn't watching anything but the same old stuff. Mm. And it was like, it became to where, like, I'd get home and I'd turn it on as background noise, but then would get, like, sucked into it. So I'm like, I need to.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, healthy boundary.
Step away and retrain myself.
Mm-hmm. I have kind of a little bit of a tie to this one just because I remember when it happened.
But a lot of people
we'll
do.
We'll get to this.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. But I.
Whew, Betty farted again. I'm assuming this is Betty and not you, Kim.
You are not me. Ass,
as so grandma would say, dog farts will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
Anyway. At 10 p.m. on June 12th in 1994 in Brentwood, California, a man and his wife was in their bedroom. They were watching TV on the third floor, and the guy starts hearing a dog bark. He didn't think too often much about it. And then around 11 o'clock, another neighbor and his wife was going out to take their dog for a walk.
That's why I use potty pads, too, because taking your dog out for a walk is how a lot of crimes get committed.
No kidding.
So they were going to take their dog out for a walk. When they went outside, they found a white dog. But its paws were all muddy. So they thought that it had been in, you know, some mud somewhere. So they didn't see anybody around for the dog. And so they didn't know where it belonged. So they thought, hey, if we just continue to walk, maybe he'll follow us and remember where he's supposed to go and, you know, go home. So they start walking. A little while later, the dog crosses the road and is sitting at the bottom of the walkway to this house, and the lady looks up the walkway and sees blood running down the walkway.
Oh.
It wasn't mud that was on the dog's paws. It was blood. Yeah. So she yells to her husband to call 911. When the police arrived, they found a deceased woman in a black dress on the ground in front of the front porch steps. A deceased man was found hidden in the bushes. The police discovered a dark stocking cap and a leather glove beside the bodies.
Oh.
Blood drops.
My dog never has to find my dead body. Poor little, she'd be so scared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine just how scared that little baby dog was.
Right.
Help. I don't know that I ever said what kind of dog it was or not, but it must have been a little bit of bigger, you know. I'm picturing like a sheepdog or something, you know, bigger dog. Not a huge dog, but a bigger one.
A big dog, Josh.
Yeah, a big one.
Not
big
a small
dog.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. In case you didn't catch that dog.
Not a medium.
Not a baby
not
size.
Not too big.
No, no, no.
Just big.
Not a grand anything, but just a medium one. Go ahead, Kim. We're listening.
Are you done?
Yeah, we're
listening. Are you sure?
It was a big dog, right?
So back to the big dog.
So they seen blood drops that leaded around to the side of the house. So they went around the side of the house. They found a fingerprint on one of the door handles. And the detective at that point wrote it in his report that they had found this. But this fingerprint was never collected as evidence. Yeah.
Crazy.
So they keep going around and they found more, you know, evidence of blood splatter, blood back there. So they go into the house and they find a letter in the house with the return address on it and name as O.J. Simpson.
Oh, shit.
So the house belonged to Nicole Brown Simpson, O.J.'s ex-wife, and the deceased man was later identified as Ron Goldman.
Damn.
Yeah, we've seen Ron's sister.
Kim.
What?
Oh. That's her name.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Kim.
Oh,
Kim
oh,
Goldman. Jesus.
Kim Goldman. Yeah, we've seen her.
Kim's like, what?
Huh?
We've seen her in Vegas at Crime Con, and she really struck a chord with me. I sat and cried through her whole
And thing. I met her a year before that in Texas at the Crime Con, and we got a picture taken together. We talked for a while.
I hate that I was so young when that whole O.J. Simpson thing came out. Because it's one of those, like, I'm aware of it, but I was too young to where, like, I mean, it just had no interest or concept of even what was occurring.
I mean, this happened before I was ever into true crime. And, you know, I was old enough that I was married. And
I mean, when was it? Like, 93?
94.
So I was 3 to 4 years old. So, yeah, I mean, even years after... Like, the only thing I knew he was a sportsman. I knew about the glove and the Ford Bronco. Other than that, I had no, like, details.
Right.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So for the detectives that was at the house, they decided that they were going to go to OJ's house to let him know about Nicole, what had happened. They get to OJ's house, and there's a Bronco out in the front, parked out front of the house. They walked up to it, and they seen a brown smudge just above the door handle on it. And they thought, oh, that looks a little bit like blood. So they start looking as they're getting ready to walk up to his house, and they're seeing blood drips leading from the Bronco all the way up to the house.
It's a bloody nose.
Right. No, it wasn't. It was his knuckle.
Oh, I was just kidding. God, oh. I was making a joke because it's one of those, he got away with it and I wasn't even aware of everything and I still believe he did it.
Yeah, oh, after this, it. Yeah, he after this, it. I know for sure he did. So they found that. They went around to the back of the house. In the back, there was like a couple little bungalows that different people lived in. And one of them, his name was Cato Kalin. He became real famous because he was on the board. They showed him on the witness stand and, you know, that kind of stuff.
With a name like that, I mean, that's a cool name.
It is a cool name. So they went up and they knocked on his door and they asked where OJ was at. And he said that earlier he'd been picked up by a limo to fly to Chicago. So they went in and they talked to Cato for a little while. And earlier, before the cops had showed up, something weird had kind of happened. He heard like a big thump and some rustling and stuff, and it knocked a picture on the wall kind of off-centered. So whatever it was had hit the back of his head, that wall, and just kind of jarred it or whatever. He thought it was an earthquake had happened.
Oh, his poor wife.
Whose wife?
Whoever that guy was. He thought it was an earthquake.
He wasn't married.
Oh, well, poor woman he was with.
Oh, no, so he wasn't with anybody.
In my house, if the picture frame's knocked off the wall, it ain't cause no earthquake.
So they had asked him if they had noticed anything, you know, weird that night. And he said, well, nothing but the earthquake. And they're like, what earthquake? So he told them what happened. And after they went out of his house, they started looking around where his bungalow was at to try to find something. And this part, I didn't remember this part at all. So when they're looking around, they find another glove that looked a lot like the one that was at the crime scene. So, of course, they collected that and take it back over there. Now I got to find my place.
Help, we need somebody, help. Oh, I like your new fingernail. You got a St. Patrick's Day fingernail?
Yeah.
They're a pretty color of green for green.
Mm-hmm. They are a pretty color green.
St. Patrick's is the only day of the year I wear green.
Okay, so I guess they didn't find the blood spots that went up to the house until it started getting light, because at this point it was like 5 or 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, real early in the morning, it wasn't quite light out yet.
Come to my house that early in the morning, there's going to be a crime.
Right. So later that morning, since they did see the blood going into the house, they decided that they were going to get a search warrant for his house. They did get a search warrant. They followed the blood spots in the house. And in his bedroom, they found a pair of bloody socks. In his washer, there was wet clothes in there. And then they also found a knife box that had the knife gone. It was just the box. Mm. When they were looking around the bathroom, they opened up the medicine cabinet and they seen all kinds of supplies, you know, for cuts and that type of thing that had blood smeared all over them.
Oh, shit.
But they had been opened and used. So the detectives, they decided that they were going to call him and let him know what happened to his wife. So they called him. They told him. And he replied that he would be on the next plane home. He arrived back in town on the 13th. Upon returning to his house, there was detectives present that they were looking through the house. He tried to enter it, and they prevented him from entering. And they actually handcuffed him for a while to keep him from going into the house because he was trying to get in there.
Oh, shit. I gotta go get that glove.
Yeah, right?
See, that's something I would want to listen to is a recording of his reaction when they told him that his wife was dead.
Uh-huh.
And not just him, anybody who's, you know, killed their spouse,
right,
or anything like that. It interests me, their reactions, because I'm looking at it like I'm judging the Oscars and the Grammys, or, you know, I'm like, let's see how good their acting is. And I know, right, OJ acted a few times. Mm-hmm. I know he was more of a sports,
yeah,
golfer, he was, or whatever he played.
Football player.
He was a football player.
I even knew that.
Well, I knew he had the golf glove.
No.
Well, he did play golf in his, yeah, in his, oh, spare, okay, time.
Well, but I just thought he was a golfer.
No, but he was a football player.
You know, I knew he acted a little bit, but I want to hear, like, just how believable was his reaction.
Well, we've seen what happened in the courtroom. We'll get to that, right, eventually.
The putting on the glove.
Yeah. It's so tight.
I've never seen a glove before. Mm-hmm.
What is this? Look. Anyway, he was taken to the station for an interview. During the interview, detectives noticed that he had a bloody finger. And when they asked him about it, he said that he cut it on a piece of broken glass in Chicago. He did offer a blood sample after that, but for some reason, that was not used in the trial also, which makes no sense
Maybe
whatsoever.
Maybe it was tainted or something.
I don't know.
Why wouldn't they just take more blood? I mean, he's a big fella. He's got plenty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't use any of that. So the funerals of Ron and Nicole were done on the 16th. They were in separate,
like, it wasn't one joint.
No, it wasn't a joint funeral. Okay. It was separate funerals. Yeah.
But on the same day.
And later that day, the test results came back, and OJ was charged with murder. An arrest warrant was issued This is where it came in, but it was issued later that night. So OJ's attorney made a deal with the authorities that he would turn himself in by 10 a.m. the next day. And then eventually it was changed to 11. So he was going to go in at 10, decided, oh, no, I'm going to go in at 11 instead. Of course, he never showed up. So the police discovered that he was actually at Bob Kardashian's house. That is the Kardashian's dad. They dispatched police to go to get him. He left right before they got there. So, of course, the manhunt for him began. Now, Bob Kardashian, after this, he held a press conference and read a letter that OJ had wrote that basically said that he loved Nicole and he wanted everybody to leave his kids alone and just on and on, you know. And it made it sound like in this that he was going to commit suicide. So at 4:46 p.m. that day, a caller on the freeway reported seeing OJ in a car going north. The caller provided the license plate number and noted that the vehicle was a white Bronco. Now, there was a couple that had a helicopter. They'd done like reports and stuff for news stations and different events and that type of stuff. So when they found out that he was on kind of on the run, they always listened to traffic on the, you know, the police radio stations and stuff. So they listened to where he was at, and they happened to be at the same area where this guy had called in and said that they had seen him. So they start looking around, and that's when they started rolling live that they had found the Bronco. It wasn't going fast. They were only going like 30 miles an hour. But there was a stream of cops behind him following him.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the news feed.
Yeah. And there was people, once people started realizing what was going on, there was people lining up the freeway, just cheering him on. You know, he didn't have anything to do with it and was just, it was really kind of, it was stupid how people were acting. But
if them bread and circuses and
yeah. So this is where I kind of come into this a little bit. Because when this was going on, my ex-husband and I were in Tennessee. We went to Tennessee for vacation. And we had just gotten back from our hotel and turned the TV on. And this was actually happening. We sat and watched it live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And which really kind of cracks me up because years after the fact, that Bronco is in the
Tennessee.
It's in that crime museum that's in, so in Pigeon Forge. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was always really odd that I watched it and then I could go see the car. Now, the Bronco was driven by A.C. Rawlings, and O.J. was in the back of it. He said that he had a gun to his head. Around 7 p.m., detectives got O.J.'s number and called him, trying to get him to, you know, throw the gun out the window because he was scaring everybody. His tone did sound like he was suicidal. He wanted to return home, so that's where he was headed, towards his house. So they dispatched the police and the SWAT and all of these other people to go to his house to wait for him to get there. They show up and there's thousands of people there, you know, rooting him on, wanting him to not turn himself in. And so there was a lot of people there. He did finally pull into his drive around 8 p.m. The police tried to talk him out of the situation, tried to talk him out of the car. He didn't want to get out. He kept telling him, you know, don't come any closer. I'm going to shoot myself, all the kinds of things. And then finally at 8:45, they did get him to come out of the car. And he was carrying a picture of Nicole when he got out of the car, which is very weird.
Putting on a good show.
Oh, yeah. He was putting on a show good. Inside the Bronco, the police did later find $8,000 in cash, a gun, his passport, a cell phone, and a disguise kit that had a beard and a mustache. And then it had adhesive to be able to put those things on.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm so nonchalant when people do the bullshit like he did. I'm going to shoot myself. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Do it. Do it right now.
Yeah.
Pull the trigger. Like my ex tried that shit when I broke up with him. Not, you know, I'm going to shoot myself, but the whole like, don't leave me or I'll kill myself. Mm-hmm. And I looked right
that's
at him
decision.
And I said that. I was like, if you decide to do that, that's a decision that you have made.
Yep.
And when I said that, like just, I think that's when he was like, oh, he's lost all feelings for me.
Right.
Now, please kill yourself. It would be a lot easier on me.
Got the hint. Now, none of these things that was found in his car was brought up as evidence in the court case. That none of that stuff was even talked about in the court case.
A disguise kit wasn't? Oh, my
yeah.
God.
None of it was. So once they did get a hold of him, they took him to the station, booked him on 2 counts of murder, and 3 days later, his first arraignment, where he pleaded not guilty, and his attorneys requested a speedy trial.
I keep thinking of the thousands of people that went down there to cheer him on.
On the highway, yeah.
Like,
there were so many people convinced that he didn't do it. And what was really bad was it was like 2 years, I think, before that, was the Rodney King beatings and the riots because the cops that had beat him had gotten off.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that had a lot to do with this.
Well, I can't picture myself ever sitting in my house watching the news and getting so riled up that a football player is being charged with murder that it looks like he killed, that I leave my house to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, it takes so much for me to get out of the house. I couldn't imagine being like, oh, yes, I must go voice my, you know, like, no, get a hobby.
Yeah. Fudge. It really surprised me how quick everything started, you know, the trial and everything. He hired 16 or 17 lawyers. They were labeled later the Dream Team by the press.
I mean, with that many lawyers.
Right. Right. A jury selection began on September 24th, 1994. There was 257 people interviewed. The final jury was composed of 8 black members, 1 white, 1 Hispanic, and 2 mixed race jurors.
See, I think when it comes to lawyers, that there should be a financial cap for it. So let's say like a rich person and a poor person were going to court, that I think that there should be a cap for the lawyers that like, say that rich person cannot get a lawyer past what the poor person could financially, because that really puts a disadvantage, because, you know, you get these millionaires, et cetera, that go out and get these sharks, you know, these men who are just the tops of their profession, and then they crush this person who's scraping by with a pro bono lawyer. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't feel very justice to me.
Right.
But like I said, that what floors me is so it happened in June, and by September, they're picking jury members. That does not happen nowadays. No. It's at least 2-year process.
Yeah.
So I don't know how in the world they got everything started so quickly.
I think he had just powerful friends.
Probably.
I think, you know, he was a celebrity, a football player, rich, I'm guessing, deep into the cocaine underworld of Hollywood,
because
the whole Bronco scene and gun, I'm going to kill myself, just screams cocaine to me.
Well, in what world, too, can you have when can you chase or run away from police and they, you know, just let you?
Right.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is weird why they didn't like stop sticks, you know, the things that go across the thing to make puncture their tires, why they didn't do something.
I mean, there's no other murder suspect.
It just has the
whole...
could
have gotten away with that.
No, there isn't.
That's OJ. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
America's man.
Opening statements begin at January 24th of 95. That's just 7 months after the crime happened.
Jesus.
And the trial lasted longer than what it was the time between it happened and it started. So the trial actually lasted 8 months.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
That just is crazy to me. Just crazy. Now, evidence that was presented that Nicole had suffered abuse at OJ's hands. She had talked to his manager, his sports manager, and she told him what was going on, that he'd been beating her, and showed him proof, pictures that she had in a lockbox as proof showing that she had, you know, had been suffering at the hands of this guy. And he says, you know, I'll talk to him. And he just continued to hound her and, you know, stalk her, basically. So a timeline of the day of the murders was introduced into court. One of their daughters had a dance recital around 5 o'clock. where OJ sat part of the time with the family. He sat behind them. He only sat there for just a few minutes, and then he got up all pissed off about something and moved.
He ran later out of cocaine.
Yeah, probably. He later went back to his house around 6:30 and spoke to Cato, commented that Nicole's dress that she had on during that recital was inappropriate. It was a halter top little black dress with a blazer, and he thought it was, you know, she was too old for that. It was something that somebody younger should have been wearing. So he didn't like what she was wearing.
To me, now I might be the minority here, but to me, when straight men say shit like that, that is so gay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that is so gay. Anytime a straight man's like,
it's possessive.
Well, that woman, it is possessive and, you know, a very toxic and a red flag, but it is at the ground base level so fucking gay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, anytime a straight man's like, oh, her in that dress, she shouldn't have been wearing that dress, all I hear is, oh, honey, not that dress. Mm. You slut. Oh, you, look at you, little slut. See, if I were to tell a woman that, they'd be a compliment.
Mm-hmm, probably.
Oh, girl, you gonna get some pipe tonight.
So while he was with Cato and he was complaining about what she was wearing and stuff, OJ told him that he was going to go get him something to eat. Cato basically invited himself. He says, hey, let's, you know, can I go with you? And he's like, yeah, sure. They ended up going to McDonald's around 9:20. They ate on the way back to the house, and OJ left the car around 9:35.
Sorry, but if I got OJ money, I ain't going to McDonald's.
I know, right? I'm
McDonald's.
Like, he's a football player. What? God. You know, they eat healthy. What are you doing to McDonald's?
Well, I just, that's food I can have now. I got OJ money. Give me that filet mignon.
So after they got done eating, they got back to the house. He, you know, went inside. And then this is when the 10 o'clock neighbor first started hearing the dog. So supposedly after he had went to her house and murdered her, he went back to his house, throwed a bunch of stuff into a bag because he was going to go to Chicago so he could use the Chicago as his alibi, saying that he couldn't have done it. Well, as he was leaving the house to go to the airport, a lady drove by and seen him coming out, and he was in a hurry and cut her off, basically.
Oh, shit.
And she was never called in to give her testimony about that night.
See, oh, so he knew some powerful people that were helping him, because this is just insane.
Yeah, the reason that she wasn't called is because she basically sold her story to a tabloid. Mm,
and it wasn't
so
viable.
It made her testimony unreliable. So it
just baffles me, the whole case. The whole country literally watched a man who, I believe, murdered his ex-wife.
I do, too.
And paid to get away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I just, the whole country just watched a man pay to get away with murder. And we're
double murder, too.
Complicit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that it was the guy, too.
Yeah, I think it's because the reason that a lot of people forget about it is just because that was the focus of the media for a long time.
He was just, he killed the ex-wife. You know, because he was pissed, but that man, it was just because he was there.
Yeah.
Crazy. Rest in peace, OJ.
So the evidence that they brought out during the trial was, of course, the glove. That was the key piece. The main detective on the case, it had surfaced a tape, a video of him. No, I think it was actually an audio tape of him saying a racial slur. So it really became, you know, they were racist against OJ was their whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't remember
if that was
long
the case, they would have shot him while he was speeding away
no
in
kidding
the car.
Mm-hmm.
We all, like, I feel like that's so common these days. Mm-hmm. Like, I myself get terrified if I ever get pulled over. Mm-hmm. It's only happened, I think, once. No, twice. But you know, I start getting shaky, and you know, I start getting
hot,
scared.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine being a person of color in this country. Like, I would just, like, I'd start crying.
Mm-hmm.
Please, like, just, I'd keep my hand, you know, I'd be terrified.
Yeah, I'd be scared, too. one prosecutor did decide that he was going to have OJ try the gloves on. Of course, he struggled to get it on, so to speak.
I know. It was watching him put that glove on, I'm like, put on a condom.
So not only did they have him do that, but they had him put a pair of surgical gloves on first. So he had latex gloves on before they would let him put the actual gloves on. So I'm sure that wasn't helping matters any of putting it on, because that stuff's not slick, you know?
Right.
Well, also,
and it was
gloves,
a leather glove.
And they would have been covered in blood at one point.
Yeah. Right. So. That, and they could have shrank. And I mean, even the
and
dew.
And leather does get stiff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, take it from me, you can fit your hand in places where you don't think you would go. Right.
But also, I can see, like, if he knows that he's going to have to put that glove on, like, you can pump up your hand.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I can just see him doing that.
Well, and then, there is some kind of a medication, I don't remember what it was, but that his attorneys basically told him to stop taking it because it made him swell.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helped also.
Just the way he goes to put it on is just like, what? How do I?
And he was even speaking to the jury while he was doing that. Who gets away with that? You're not supposed to speak directly to the jury.
Right.
You know, I just don't understand how so many things could have gone wrong. But yeah, it was shown as inappropriate at that time that he spoke to them. Closing statements begin on September the 26th, and on October 2nd, the jury started deliberation. The first vote that they did was a 10 to 2. So 10 was guilty, 2 was not guilty. After 4 more hours, the final vote was unanimous. The verdict was scheduled to read at 10 a.m. the next day. Thousands of people gathered. The police were in riot gear. They were on horseback. There was thousands of people in the crowd waiting for this verdict to go down. When the not guilty verdict was announced, the crowd erupted in cheers so loud that it scared the horses.
Oh my God.
The horses were bucking, you know, trying to get away from it. It scared them so bad.
So it was the opposite of the Casey Anthony.
Yeah, basically. One juror remarked that she still remembered that day vividly, leaving many to wonder what he did next and whether he would confess to killing Nicole and Ron, like on his deathbed or something. I guess we'll find out what happened on Unmasked.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I thought he did it to begin with. And
Yeah. I mean, who else? I mean, clearly the murder was so brutal. Who else would have that motive?
And
there's already lots of recordings from where she called 911 because he beat her.
Well, and I feel like if you're innocent and you believe you're innocent, you don't need to hire 16 lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
That just feels like overkill. You know, even if you have the
money.
Or
leave town.
Yeah.
Leave town so you have an alibi.
Well, the 16 lawyers, it's just like,
it's overkill.
To me, that screams overkill. You know you've did it and you're using every resource you have to, you know, get away with it.
Well, and who has their wife and the mother of their children get murdered and then writes a book about, hey, I didn't do it, but if I did it, this is how I would have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, who does that?
And then take him to McDonald's first. Right. Not even buy him a nice meal.
Nope.
No, not at all.
I didn't even get him extra sauce.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's, we just solved it. It was the whole OJ thing. He ate a McRib. It made him go crazy and commit these murders. And then he forgot about it after the toxins were passed from his body.
Are you missing something?
Yeah.
What are you missing?
The rest of my Retro Braggies.
Oh.
It only printed one.
Oh, well, just give us one.
I'll just give you the one. I'll send.
She looks like a baby doll.
She does.
Just sleeping.
So cute.
Oh, my goodness.
She looks like one of those fake dolls.
She's a good girl.
So I only have one Retro Raggy because the others didn't print. A woman reported her car stolen. She told the police that they had a car phone in the car. She called the phone. They talked to the police. The police told him that he's seen in the paper that they were selling the car. So he asked him to meet him someplace to buy the car, and they arrested him.
I'm totally lost. I have no idea what you just said. And I don't know if it's because you were stumbling or what? I have no idea what.
Well, you tried to summarize it, and it's nothing like what the actual thing is. So,
Grammarly.
A lady reported her car stolen. She called the police. You know, she told them that it was stolen. She told the police that she had a car phone on her car. So the police decided that they were going to call the car phone.
Oh, okay.
They called the car phone.
I got it.
The thieves answered. The police said, hey, I seen, you know, I'm interested in your car. We've seen it to buy it. And they
meet him to buy it
somewhere
and arrest
him. I
got it.
Idiots.
Okay. So I can understand that one.
Idiotas. Remember car phones? The epitome, like, as a kid, if someone had a car phone, it's like, oh, success.
Yeah.
Success.
I had one of the original bag phones.
Well, anybody I knew that had a car phone, I never saw them use it.
I don't know. They're
like,
don't
you use that? It costs too much.
I don't know that I ever saw one in a car.
I did a few times, but they were like, don't ever touch it because it costs an arm and a leg.
I'm pretty sure I still have mine. I keep it in the toy box for kids to play with.
Oh, yeah. Well, since you only have one Rutro Raggy, I saw on a news clip that there's a rise in right-wing baby names in our country.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And just the few examples I can remember off the top of my head, names such as Caliber, Ammo, Trigger. So yeah, you can expect to see in your kids' classroom, if you have babies going to start school in the next few years, some gun-themed and war-themed children's names.
Bless their heart.
You know, give them just the best start in life that they can.
That's embarrassing.
Good Lord.
Oh, God bless them. Trigger. I'm like, people naming that, that's a horse name.
Right.
That's a name a country western star would name their, you know, their pony. Trigger.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm here, Caliber. Callie.
All righty. Is that all we got today?
I think so.
All right. Don't forget to like us and do all the good social media stuff.
Like, subscribe, share Mystery Inc. with some of your friends.
Friends and family.
Yes.
Go to our...
Each one of you listening, just share us on your whatever socials you use. We might get one or two more listeners.
Yeah, maybe one or two. That's always good.
Sell more of Kim's panties. Mm-hmm. I got plenty of these dicks left. Let me give you a little dick.
Don't forget to go to our website. Have you got the new pictures on there yet?
No, not yet. We'll work on that, though.
Yeah, we're working on getting our new pictures uploaded on the website.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy all of our merch there and all that good stuff.
Join us on Patreon so you can see our videos. And now you can watch Shane play with his puppy.
Mm-hmm. Play with
it. He'll sit here and stroke his puppy.
Well,
for you.
She's so sleepy.
His hairy little puppy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, we'll catch you on a mess.
Her little tail.
Bye.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.